Knowing God is really a lifetime experience. And you can't know God until you realize that you need a Savior. And when you realize that you need a Savior, and you come to Christ, you trust Him. You trust Him enough to believe that He's the Son of God and that He's alive and that He died for you. And when you finally trust Him to save your soul, you call on His name, because you wouldn't pray to a dead man. You've already believed He's alive and He saves your soul. That's about all you know at that time. That's about all you know about Him. Oh, I'm sure you've seen enough Christmas plays and pageants that you had a good knowledge of Him. But as far as a personal knowledge and a relationship with Him and understanding things about Him, we just didn't know much until after we got saved. In Mark 6:50, Jesus is teaching. He's teaching the first New Testament church. Now, I had a fear of God before I was saved, and it was a real fear. I was afraid He was going to send me to hell. And that was a fear of God. And it was a rather frightening thing. But after I got saved, the type of fear I have for God is a reverential fear. Oh, sure, I know that if I do wrong and don't confess it or don't change, He's going to punish me. But it's not the kind of fear I had before I was saved that He was going to send me to hell. And a lot of those things that I've learned about a reverential fear that I have from God, I learned them. Where did I learn them? In His churches, where I was and where they were preached. I began to learn a lot of things about Jesus and a lot of things about God. Jesus is teaching the first New Testament church something right here that's very, very important. And immediately He talked with them. They were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and they were in serious trouble, and they were afraid of physical death. Well, I'm still afraid of physical death, even though I've been saved for 58 years. He was trying to teach them something, and He did. He said, be of good cheer. He rescued them. He delivered them from a horrifying storm that was going to take their lives. They were sure of it. All of a sudden, He shows up walking on the sea, calms the storm, gets in the boat, they go to the other side. He put them in that boat. He caused the storm, and He delivered them because He wanted to teach them something. We need to learn what they learned, because that's what God does in His church. He teaches us about Himself, about His Son, about the Holy Spirit, and about us and the relationship between us. He says, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Now that's something I've learned. I learned it in Vietnam. I learned it during the Korean War. I learned it in many situations I found myself in where my life was in peril. But I've learned it in a lot of other ways too. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. I have learned how much I've never learned how much He loved me. But I've come to understand that He loved me a whole lot more than I realized. And that He's always with me. That He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. Sure, I get afraid. But then I remember this. I learned this. Who taught me? God's Holy Spirit. Where did He teach me from? From this book. And that's the problem. A lot of people, after they get saved, they never do learn the lessons that God wants to teach them. And they flounder around through life, missing the message that God has for them, and live miserable lives. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1-7. When you got saved, this is what you didn't get. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. But you see, you have to be taught. You have to understand from God's Word. The Spirit has to sink through that spiritual mind of yours and let you understand that He didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of power, His power, and of love. The ability to love like He loves, which you didn't have until Christ came in you. And of a sound mind. That sound mind is really interesting. Because it doesn't mean that when you were born you weren't retarded. It doesn't mean that they put you in a nut house. It doesn't mean you're crazy. It means God has something He gave you the ability to have. And that was a sound mind. We have been given the spirit of power in His Word, not the spirit of fear. We have been given the spirit of love in His Word. He has given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love. And we have been given the spirit of a sound mind in His Word. What is a sound mind? There is no sounder mind that exists than the mind of Christ, which is the mind of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I bow before God and stand before man, testifying as the oracles of God, this is the mind of God. And no one has a sounder mind than God. After you get saved, God means for you to learn how He thinks, how His Son thinks, how the Spirit thinks. They all think the same. My problem is I think like Tom McElmurray. I think like all the things that have happened to me in my life, my environment, my birth, my genes, my chromosomal structure, everything that I am from my mother's womb. That's who I am, and that's the way I think. All the things that have happened to me in life have had an influence on me environmentally, and my heredity, my genes have had an influence. But I need to learn how to think like God thinks. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he ended it by saying, we have the mind of Christ. The question is, are we going to learn? Are we going to develop a sound mind? Are we going to serve God in our own mind, in our own way, without paying any attention to what God has to say? I want to know how God thinks. I want to know how God feels. I want to know how God plans. I want to know everything there is to know about God. And I want Him to teach me. Because He's the only teacher there is. And if I don't have any interest in what He has to say, and I'm not wanting this thing, I'll never find it, nor will you. The word translated sound is sophronismos. Sophronismos, which means discipled or taught. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and of a disciplined, taught mind. You want to know why Kenneth Eubanks goes over there at the nursing home every Saturday? You want to know why he loves this church and loves you so much and loves me so much? You want to know why he's so faithful, devoted? It's because he's learned from God's Word a sound mind. And he's still learning. And God's the only one you're going to learn it from. And you can't learn it if you aren't interested and you don't want to know what He's got to say. You want to know why I'm still in the work? God has been disciplining and teaching me all these years. And I thank God from the depths of my soul. I have a sounder mind this year than I did last year. And I have a sounder mind last year than I did the year before. That's the truth. And I thank God for it. In Mark 6:50-52, we're going to take a look at Mark 6:50, and you see they were troubled. They had reason to be troubled. They were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. He put them there deliberately. He caused the storm deliberately. He saved you. And He's put you in some pretty trying circumstances deliberately. He didn't test you. You just wandered into the circumstances and The Lord's Prayer says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the trouble. But you wandered in. And hopefully you learned some lessons from it. And they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Verse 51, continuing. Mark 6, 50 through 52. And he went up into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazed beyond measure and wondered. Why were they so amazed? Why were they so shocked? Why did they wonder about it? Because up to this point, they had really never slowed down and taken the time to consider this man they were following was the living Son of God. He had the power to calm the storm, to cease the waves, to deliver them from anything. They had not developed a sound mind, a disciplined mind. How do you get one? You just keep on studying God's Word, wanting one, and God will make sure you get it. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. See, he tried to teach them a lesson on the far shore. He took them and he whisked them and pushed them into that boat. I've preached this before. Not this particular message, but I've preached these verses. But there are some implications here that need to be brought home in my mind and in yours. Because he taught them. When he gave the miracle of the loaves, he didn't give it to impress people. He gave it so they could see he was the Son of God. And that they could have full and complete confidence in him, that he knew what was right, he would do what was right, and no power in heaven was withheld from him. He fed a multitude, thousands and thousands of men, women, and children with just a few loaves and fishes. It was the most marvelous thing that the disciples had seen up to that time. I believe he'd already turned water into wine. But did they learn something from it? Were they developing disciplined and sound minds? No, they were thinking about, boy, I'll be glad when he brings in this kingdom, and I'll be on this place, and Mark will be over here, and John will be over here, and we'll have all this and all that stuff. They needed to be taught. I need to be taught until the day I die. That's why you need to come to church. You need to have God's Word, and you need to look at it, and you need to develop a sound, disciplined mind from it. Why were they so surprised? They were spiritually ignorant. For they considered not the miracles of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. A hard heart won't trust God. A hard heart will hold on to everything it's got. It'll mete out to God what it thinks it can mete out to him and not be cast off. And it'll keep enough back to make sure that when God fails, they have their own means to continue. That's a hardened heart. They were following the Lord because they believed they were going to get something out of it. They were going to come. He was going to bring in the kingdom. They were going to sit on his right hand, his left hand. Everything was going to be fine. But they hadn't really turned their lives over to it. That's what a sound mind does. A disciplined mind. It isn't something that the moment you get saved, you say, well, now I've got a sound mind. No. You have a sound Jesus living inside you. And he wants to teach that spiritual mind that came to life in you who he is, who his Father is, and who the Holy Spirit is. Now let's go back and take a look at what had happened. For they considered not the miracles of the loaves. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been afraid out in that boat. You say, well, why shouldn't they have been afraid? And they did that, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Notice what he did. Here's why they shouldn't have been afraid. I'm not sitting in judgment on them. I've done the same thing. So would you. And straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. He constrained them to get in the ship. He forced them. He shuffled them in like a mother hen shovels chickens. He made them get into the ship. He made them cast off. He put them out on the lake. Well, when God saved you, He saved you completely. And He launched you out on the sea of life. You think He didn't love you? You think someone that has the power to save you and keep you can't carry you through any trial and trouble? You think that's possible? Your answer is normal, yes. Well, a disciplined and sound mind believes that. They had to learn it. I need to learn it. I need to practice it. You need to learn it. You need to practice it. He put them in the boat. There they were in all that trouble. And what they were supposed to do when they got out in the middle of the lake was to say, well, if He turned all that into 5,000 men's accompaniments, and we don't know how many women and children, and He fed all those, and He put us in this boat, He's not going to let us perish. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, what would you have done? Same thing they did. What would you have done? Same cotton-picking thing they did. But they had to learn a lesson. And they learned it. Now, why did God put this in the book? So that you and I could look at it, and we could learn the same lesson. He delivered them. And He said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Notice what He said in John 6, 62, 63. You hear me quote this all the time. The reason is, it's something we need to really think about and practice and let it sink in. This is what a sound mind is. It's taught. It's developed. It's something God's Spirit builds in us. It isn't something we automatically inherit. He gives us a new spiritual mind, and God says, now I'm going to train it. To whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You keep on coming, you keep on learning, and God builds in you a sound, disciplined mind, and He does it from this book, and there's no other way to get it. John 6, 62, 63. What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? Well, He's put us in this boat. This was a New Testament church out in the middle of a boat. We're a New Testament church out in the middle of the world. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that put us in this body, this local visible body we call a New Testament church. He's the one that keeps us and protects us. We need to have confidence in Him. We need to understand that He has all power in heaven and earth. And we don't need to back off. What we need to do is boldly proclaim the gospel and not be ashamed of the one in whom we believe. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It was the Spirit that saved you. The flesh profiteth nothing. There they were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in a violent, vicious storm, and flesh could not possibly have saved them. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He's told us He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He's told us He built the church on Himself and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We need to pray and ask the Lord to protect us from the wiles of the devil. We need to ask God to strengthen us and help us. We need to ask God to deliver us from the trials and tribulations of life. We need to have confidence in Him that He will. We have not received the spirit of fear. When God put His Son in us, He didn't give us a scaredy cat. He gave us a Son that has all power in heaven and earth. God has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. But until you learn from the Word of God about His Son, about the Father, and about the Holy Spirit, and about yourself, you're going to run around scared of everything and everybody and every situation. A sound mind is something that's taught. It's something that's taught from the Word of God. It's something I've had to learn and am still learning. Brother and sister in Christ, listen to me. I didn't start to realize truly what a blessing we have. God has been extremely gracious to me. Only God knows how gracious. I am your pastor, and I am your friend, and I do try to yield myself to the Spirit of God, and I do try to teach you God's Word. This church needs to have a disciplined mind as a body, and it can only have a disciplined mind if each individual member is disciplined. This is why In 2 Timothy chapter 4, these famous words are written. Preach the word. Didn't say preach about the word. Didn't say preach around the word. Didn't say preach opinions. Didn't say preach little cute ditties, 3 points of poem, a cloud of dust, and high hole silver away. He said, preach the word. Preach it. Preach what it says. Be instant in season. Be ready to do it at all times. When you're ready. Or when you're not ready. Out of season. All the time. Be ready. What are you supposed to do with it? A lot of churches don't do this. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. They get up and preach salvation by grace, and that's wonderful. They should. They preach security of the believer. That's marvelous. They should. I do. And they preach Jesus is coming. And that's marvelous. They should. And I do. But they don't reprove with God's word. They don't rebuke with God's word. And they don't exhort God's people to follow it with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know what doctrine is? That's how you develop a sound mind. That's how you come to understand how God wants to be worshipped. That's how you come to understand what the church is. That's how you come to understand the purpose of the church in God's plan. That's why where you come to understand the importance of you being a living part of it and wanting the church to flourish and being willing to serve and worship God in it. It's a disciplined, taught mind. But you're going to have to want to do what God wants and let God teach you and develop a sound mind. Your spiritual mind, when it is first born again, and mine certainly needed it, I needed to learn the things about God. I'm still learning the things about God. And if you don't come to church and submit your will and heart to God and want to understand what He has to say to you personally through His Word, how are you going to ever develop a sound mind? You say, well, I like the one I've got. That's your problem. That's your problem. That's my problem. I like the one that I got too. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't listen to it anymore. It's here. They don't want to hear about the things that God has to say to them that indicate the changes that need to be made in their attitudes, their lives, their outlooks, and their perspective. They don't want to be convicted. They don't want to be reproved, rebuked, or exhorted. They don't want it done with all long-suffering. And believe me, a pastor has to have all long-suffering if he teaches doctrine. Most of the time, preachers get run off from the church. I thank God that this church grew with people who came in here and wanted to hear the Word of God. If I went into a normal missionary Baptist church right now and started preaching and teaching what I preach here, they'd run me off because they don't like to be told that there's something basically wrong with each one of us individually that needs to be changed. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, telling them what they want to hear. Give them a little sweet ditties. And some of those little sweet ditties are true. They tell them about all the soothing, wonderful things that God does for us. And He does. But they won't tell them about the changes that need to be made in their attitude and outlook and looking at life. They like themselves just like they are. I don't like myself just like I am. I want to be like the Lord means for me to be. And it's wrought some changes in my life. The way I look at things, the way I accept things, the way I teach things. My whole attitude toward people and toward God. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They are turning into Aesop's fables. Right now in the market, you have a bevy of some 12 to 14 books written by Tim LaHaye, Jack Van Impe, Hal Lindsey. And they tell about wonderful, marvelous things, us being whisked out of here before the tribulation period, wonderful things that are going to happen to you and all the exciting good things that God has to offer. But they don't tell you the truth about yourself. They don't tell you the truth about the need for change in your life. They don't tell you anything that will irritate you. And we're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. They're nothing but pure fiction. But the people are scarfing them up, and these men are becoming multimillionaires. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 15. Timothy said these things, 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15. These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, then he tells him why he wrote them. That thou mayest know how thou dost behave thyself in the house of God, You say, Brother Michael Murray, you've preached that message 500 times. No, I've preached that scripture 500 times. And the reason I've done it is this. This is the way you get a sound mind. This is the way you get a disciplined mind. This is where God teaches you the respect you ought to have toward God's house and the way you ought to conduct yourself toward it. He says, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Well, not a lot of people don't like reprove, rebuke, or exhorting. And a lot of them come here. Some of them join, some of them don't. And some of them, after they join, they don't like reproof, they don't like rebuke, they don't like exhorting. So what happens to these people? If any man be a hearer of the word, they hear the rebuke, they hear the reproof, the rebuke, they hear the exhorting. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his faith in a glass. This book reveals to you the depth of your sinful condition. And after you're saved, the more you look at this book and the more you hear it, the more you realize that your thoughts are not God's thoughts. Your ways are not God's ways. For his thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and his ways are higher than your ways. And the more you'll see yourself as what you are, self-centered, self-loving, self-serving. Most people don't like that. When people look in here and they see it, they say, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. And they ask God to forgive them. And the next day they look in here, they realize it again. And they ask God, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You want to know who they are? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican. And God said he went down to his house justified. But the other man, who saw himself as doing everything right, he wasn't justified in his action and conduct. Natural face in a glass, in a mirror. So this book shows you what you are. What else can God do? You want to know the truth, or don't you? That's what God wants you to see, the truth. You need him. You need him desperately. You need his strength. You need his power. You need his love. You need his compassion. You need his friendship. You need his mercy. You need his forgiveness. And he's got it all there for you. If you'll just turn to him and say, Father, I want to learn what you want me to be like. You say, well, then when I learn it, will I be okay? You'll never learn it in this life. But you have an obligation to yourself and to God to make the effort. And that's why God put the church down here. Some people... ...seeking God's will for their lives. But some don't. They see what they are. They begin to try to justify it. They're like a man that beholds himself and goes his way. And after he's been gone for a while and he gets away from this word, which is the mirror into which he looks, he begins to rationalize, say, ah, well, I never did really believe all that, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's what this book is, the complete law of liberty, God's sound mind for you to understand, and continueth therein, keeps on coming, keeps on looking, keeps on seeing, keeps on repenting. Being not a forgetful hearer, keeps on being made aware of himself. But a doer of the work, he keeps on working. Who wouldn't want to work for someone who's spared by the mercy of God and kept by the power of God? And God will bless that man in his deed. He'll acknowledge that he needs to change. He'll acknowledge that God's will needs to be done in his life. He'll acknowledge that he needs to learn to think like God. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, what is this talking about? A disciplined mind? A disciplined mind will rightly divide the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If your sound mind isn't developed, and what's coming off the tip of your tongue is deceiving your own heart, because you're teaching yourself rather than letting God's word develop a sound mind, your religion is vain. pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. The reason we have two programs at the nursing home every week is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Many times their family don't come to see them. We have an obligation as God's people to visit them, to preach to them, to teach them, to encourage them. That's true religion. Why is it true religion? We get nothing back in return, do we? They don't give us any money, do they? What we receive is the joy of having done something for people from which we could receive nothing back. That's charity. That's agape. That's the highest form of love. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. You do that by understanding what the Word of God says. And you understand that by a sound mind. And a sound mind will not follow the ways of the world, but will follow the ways of God. Now, brethren, I've been with you for 28 years. If I haven't learned anything else, I've learned this. After you're saved, you're in a race. God means for you to run it in a local New Testament church. There's a prize waiting at the end for those who are willing to let God shape their way of thinking, who's willing to let them change their attitudes and their outlooks and their perspective. It's there, and he's more than willing to give it. Do you know him as Savior? Can you honestly say this morning, yes, I know Jesus Christ as my Savior? If you can, praise God for it. If you can't, you come forward trusting Jesus and you'll be saved before you hit the end of this aisle. I can't save you. This church can't save you. You can't save yourself. But when you come to Jesus trusting him, he does the saving. He does the indwelling and he does the keeping. Whatever God's laid on your heart this morning, if he's dealing with you, you come. Will the song leader and the pianist come?